obedience. And so we take this Wednesday, we've chosen to turn it and make it into a worship night. And so I don't know how the spiritual realm works in many ways. I just don't know how it works, but I sometimes wonder whenever there's a worship, is God's angels always in the midst of worship? If it is, then they're in the midst here and maybe one other church tonight. Bible studies and worship and preaching are different. But tonight I want you to open, we're going to be in a couple of spots tonight, and we're going to be in the book of Mark in the beginning, so Mark chapter 1. I don't even know how to begin. I thought about how I want to open up this topic tonight, but this is so hard to figure out how to open it up. I don't know why. I usually don't have that problem, but I want to share with you that, Father, I just ask tonight, Lord, you give those who are here in this small group, Lord, let's not even look at the size tonight, but let's look at the size of your spirit. Father, tonight I ask, Lord, that you would use this out, this next 30 minutes, Lord, to show, Lord, us what you want us to learn through these scriptures. I pray, Father, Lord, that you would give us ears. We all have ears and eyes, Lord, but let us see tonight. Let us hear tonight what you would have for us in these scriptures. Let these scriptures come alive to us. Let us hear it in a way that we've never heard it before. And let us get to the peace and the pieces that we need to, that we might grow in our walk with the Lord, in our walk with you. For it's in Christ's name, amen. We struggle with this idea that we know that we got church figured out. We struggle with this idea that we got all problems figured out to a point. The world is at a fast pace. The world has to label everything, to saying that the world has to put a label on everything so that it feels like it is in control. The world puts a label on everything so that it has dominion. It feels like it has dominion over it. And I'm telling you, you need to be very cautious of what you listen to and what you read today more now than ever. You need to be very, very cautious. Ashley, when you were sharing that story about this lady named Faye, all I can say was, there's demonic in that. God did not create the family to be like that. We can choose this sinful lifestyle, we can. But when we look at it, demonic is what it is. The story that we heard from Billy. And Billy gave me a little bit more intense. I shared that last week. But when the voice comes out of a person and looks straight in the eyes of someone and tells them that you need to stop, do not save his life, let him die, in a voice that is not your own, that it is different than what you're used to, it's not the voice of the person that's speaking, but it's a different voice, I'm telling you, this is more real than what we, but they will put a label on it as schizophrenia. I'm not saying that there is no such thing as schizophrenia, but I'm saying anytime anything is out of the normal, we in the world will put everything labeled as a mental issue, a schizophrenia, and those kind of things. And the problem is, in the church today, we don't want to hear what the scriptures say because we just want to live in the book of Philippians, which is amazing. Love the book. One of the most encouraging books, letters that we have in the scriptures. Or we want to go to areas where we want to look at the book of James, those basic lifestyle living attributes that we should learn. Or we want to go over there and we want to look at Colossians. There's some things in Colossians that are awesome about Jesus Christ. Or the second coming and First Thessalonians. We want to do that or we want to hear those. But we don't want to hear, when we get into the Gospels, we want to hear out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we want to hear the stories of Jesus in this healings. We want to hear the story of salvation. We love the story of Jesus walking on the water. We love to see Jesus calming the storm, feeding the 4,000, feeding the 5,000. We want to hear the story of the resurrection, but we miss some of the major points. We miss some things that are part of the ministry that Jesus had. Tonight I want to look into three areas and three different areas in Scripture where Jesus interacted with the demonic world. And I want to tell you that it is not that it's it does exist. If you think you got to see it to believe it, you've already fell on the losing side of understanding the demonic. It's not that we worship the demonic. It's not that we lift it up and give it a glory shout. No, it is the demonic is the dark side. It is the enemy. They tempt us into temptation, and we choose to sin. But in temptation, they are there. But we also see, and I have to let my mind rest because it goes all over the place through the scriptures, but we do know that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that he did kill people. We see in the book of Job, we see Job's family. His family was put to death by Satan, that he controlled the weather, that he had enemies come across the hill and take things over. He controlled many things, but these things that God allowed to, and the thing is, he was not allowed to touch Job himself until the second time. But I want to read something here tonight out of Mark. I want us to look at something. It says in verse 21, they went to Capernaum, that's Jesus and his disciples that he had, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And I want to tell you, that is a very important piece right there. Jesus was always found in the temple on the Sabbath. Amen. Always. Wasn't at a football game. He wasn't out there fishing. He was in the Sabbath. Okay? I understand vacations. I understand sick days. But if you can make it, we should be able to be there. Okay? Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. It wasn't all about what you don't have to do, what you're supposed to do. The teachers of the law was always about okay, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you know, those kind of things. Oh, you should be doing this. And everybody was talking about how much they were fasting and all that. But he taught one who had authority. It was different. Just then, you see, this is what raised up the next issue. It wasn't that there was teaching going on. It says Jesus came in with authority. And he says, just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God." And I want to tell you that rocked that building for a moment. They were confused. They probably thought this guy was a nut. And Jesus said, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And all the people were so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching? And with authority he even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him?" One is, some of those people believed in the demonic. Some did. Sadducees did not. There were some that did not, but some did. Here's what we find in this small story here before we move on. Number one is we found out that somebody that's demon-possessed does go to church. Did you just catch that? They like to attend church too. They attend church too. So don't think that everybody that comes into the church loves Jesus. This man came in. And he had something, there was something that came out of him that said something that wasn't normal. And it made a claim. And asked a question. He didn't turn to anybody else. He spoke to the one who had authority. "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? And have you come to destroy us?" One, we know that the scriptures tells us that the demons know that they have an ending. They know they have an ending. That they will be destroyed. This is their greatest fear. They wanted to know if it was now. And they even acknowledged that he was the Holy One of God. No one else there. Listen, the people that were supposed to believe in God, they didn't acknowledge him. But the demon acknowledged that you are the Holy One of God. Now they know things that we don't know at the time. They knew things that we didn't know. And Jesus tells them to be quiet. If we were to do that today, and I believe that's happened in this church a couple of times, the first thing that usually happens is someone, if I was to say something, someone would say something, "You can't do that. You can't talk to that person that way." Because we believe the church is just filled up with love, with no authority, but with just love and forgiveness and happy flowers and happy songs and great lighting, and we all come in happy, but we go out happier. That's what's happening in the American church in some sense. But there are times when people see certain things that others can't see. I'm not saying they're more in tune with God, but when your life is where it needs to be with God, God gives you, everything becomes more sharper. When you're walking with God and you're doing what God wants you to do, you're living, you're not perfect, but you're living the righteous life, the best of your ability, you have your setbacks, but you're going to have an ear for compassion. You're going to have an eye for compassion. You're going to have a mouth for encouragement. When you're not walking with God in the right ways, and it's about yourself, or it's about your family, your own grandkids, it's all about your own self and not about others. But we see here a piece in the Scriptures where it talks about Jesus face to face with the demonic. Let me read a couple of Scriptures before we move on. Verse 27 says, the people were so amazed, that they, what is this new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to evil spirits and that they obey him. In verse 34, it says, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. After they left there and they went on to a couple other places. He also drove out many demons. It says Jesus drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because he knew who he was. There's a lot more going on. God has a lot more going on than what we can see in a service. God has a lot more going on sometimes in a Bible study than what we can see with our physical eyes. God is always doing more than we can see. In verse 39, so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Why do we have a problem with the word demon? Why do we have a problem with the devil? Why do we have a problem with those words? Turn over to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Now, what happened, we find out what happened is, we find out that this person had a demon in him, and Jesus tells him, cast out the demon. And we see this throughout the ministry of Jesus. We see it also throughout the ministry of Paul and some of the other disciples. And we see this through the Scriptures, through the New Testament as well. So what we see here now, it says, there's a part here, it says, well, where do demons go? Where do they go? Now, it says here in verse 34, Jesus says this, you brood of vipers, how can you know, that is not my verse. Here it is. 43, not 34, 43. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, so we know that an evil spirit can come out of a man. All right, we know that. It goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. So he leaves the vessel, the person that he is in. He goes out to arid places seeking rest, seeking a place of rest. Now, this will also crisscross over into some of the things that Phil was reading out of Ephesians chapter 6. But he said he goes into air places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. So he finds no rest and he goes out to air places. That's dry, quenching places. And he'll go back to the place and he'll visit the place that he left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied. Now, we're talking about a person. Let's talk about the person. Unoccupied. Okay, let's use a person first. Comes into the person and he finds out that it's unoccupied. What would that mean if it was be occupied? If it be occupied, and if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God says he gives you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our counselor, the encourager, the God Spirit that he gives to us, and it dwells inside of us. And so we see that would be an occupied. Tonight, my body is occupied by the Holy Spirit. I don't know, are you a believer? If you are a believer, then the Holy Spirit occupies you. So he comes back and he finds that that place, that was now, we can go in. Now I'm telling you, this is one where all the Scriptures come together. You know the four soils, don't you? There's the three soils that people hear the gospel, but that doesn't really receive it. It sounds good, and they're on the bandwagon for it, but it doesn't work for them. It's not working because they did it with their mouth. They did it with their actions, but they didn't do it with their heart. They never really accepted Christ. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And so those people, says when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. We can clean our lives up as much as we want, but if we don't have Jesus in it, it is an empty house. It says, then it goes, and it says, okay, so whether it was cast out or it left, now it says, I'm going to come in, I'm going to be stronger this time. So then when it goes, it takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man, it's a man, is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. But God uses this piece here showing how the wicked the generation is going to be. But now that thou, it's more worse than it was in the beginning. He's bringing seven more demons, evil spirits, to come inside that individual. Now they're going to be worse than they were before. Now what we see is a scripture that people struggle over because, first of all, many don't believe that there is demonic. Many people do not believe that there is demonic going on. Now we have this tendency to believe that. We have this idea that we believe that everything that the dark side does has got to be visible. Where we have to hear a shrieking noise, or we have to see somebody's head twitch. We have to see the eyes of their color, their eyes turn into black coal. We feel like those are the things. But I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 16 for a second. This is an area that we see the demonic working, but nobody really catches it. Jesus catches it, but nobody else did. And so we see a piece here where it says, now, all these do not have to be possession. Now, we can be oppressed. I wish I had more time. But oppression is where Satan, the dark side, continues to work on you, use you to do certain things, tries to get you to do things, manipulate you, get you to use your emotions, get you to use your attitude, get you to use your influence for things that are not right, whatever. And then there is possession when they totally take over the whole body. But this is the piece here where we see that we believe that, I believe, that Satan was beginning to use, was wanting to use Peter and use him and bring some words into his mouth. It says from verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, "Never, Lord." And he said, "This shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus verbally spoke that. He verbally spoke that, okay? It isn't that he thought that. And it wasn't that Jesus was thinking of that. He was standing there and he told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, he was not talking to Peter. He was talking to Satan. And he said, "Get behind me. You are a stumbling block to me." Do not think that Satan just left Jesus in the desert. All right? Don't think that he left that temptation here. He was trying to do it again. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And here, the next thing Jesus talks about, you must deny yourself and those kind of things. What we struggle with in this whole piece here is the belief that there is a dark side out there raging and trying to get us. Now, in America, I would say this. In America, my opinion only, the demonic uses the idea that they don't exist. It's a great place. In Africa, it's totally different. You read up in spiritual warfare in Africa, what they'll do is manifestations happen all the time. It's a scare tactic that the dark side uses. In America, we have become the educated people of the world because we're so smart. We're so intellectual that we don't believe that those things exist. How can we? Because we are so intellectually smart. So we can't believe that there is a demonic side. We can't believe that. But the Bible gives us very strong instructions that is bigger than what we think it is. I'm going to read a part of what Phil read earlier because I wanted that to sink in for just a little bit. Because he does say, "Put on the full armor so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." But he says in verse 12, in Ephesians 6, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." We always believe it's against flesh and blood. We always think it's Uncle John. We always think it's mom or dad. We always think it's our spouse. We always think it's our kid. We need to listen and really read the scriptures. And it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." But he says it, and he doesn't say that it's not against flesh and blood, but against evilness. No, he's going to break it down for us to understand that we have an enemy that's going to continue to battle us. And I want to tell you this. When you become a Christian, it doesn't make your life easier here on heaven. God blesses it, and God can make it easy for you. If he likes, he can make it even. He can bless you, and he will, and do those things. But being a believer in a world that you don't belong to, it will come to a place where you don't belong here. You're the odd man out, and you will be persecuted for that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but he says against the rulers. Now, many people will say, well, that's just kingdoms and kings and bad kings and queens and the rulers of the land. No, it says, because we're not talking about flesh and blood. Did you remember? We're not talking about flesh and blood. We're talking about things that are spiritual. So he says, so it's against the rulers. That's one. Against the authorities. That's two. Against the powers of this dark world. That's three. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's four. Listen, you want to get into it? Go to Daniel chapter 10. You'll see something that is just, you'll see the demonic and angels wrestling. You want to see the archangel Michael, and you want to see Lucifer disputing over Moses' body. You'll see that in the book of Jude. You want to turn around and you want to see the stand and fall of Lucifer. You go to Ezekiel chapter 30, I believe it's 37. You'll see that there. And he fell because of his pride. But you'll see that Satan is all over the Bible. But we just want salvation. We don't want to get real with what's real. The real thing is Lucifer in the dark side is moving in America. He's moving in our churches. He's slowly taking away worship services and getting people to think about more about business than the Word of God. He's getting people to have more about business meetings than times of prayer. He's pulling us in churches away from what really we are supposed to be about the gospel, sharing the gospel, about doing the works. And guess what? We're doing it in America. We're doing it without faith. Did you hear what I just said? We're doing all these things in the church without faith. And it takes faith to be obedient to God. It takes faith to be able to try to stand when you can't stand. And we struggle with these things because we have gotten so sophisticated and away from the cross, and the cross has become a nice little piece that you put on a chain and you put it around your neck and say, I believe in God, and that's as far as we take it. But when's the last time you've been in a room with someone that you know the demonic has been in there? I'm not saying this is everybody's ministry, but we need to be aware that there are times in prayer. Now listen, I know some of you are strong enough knowing that there are times in our worship service where there have been demonically oppressed people coming into this church service, into this building. And you know, some of you that are spiritually aware know that there have been people that come in and totally and are possessed, and we have to work through that. And you find out, well, and sometimes we say, well, how come I don't feel the Spirit this morning? How come I just feel like there's such a heaviness in the house today? Well, I'm going to tell you that heaviness didn't come from God. The heaviness comes from people bringing in their junk, people bringing it in. And here, what did we read when we first, the man came to the synagogue and he said, what do you have to do with us, Jesus? What do you have to, the demonic came to church. And they're coming to this church from time to time. They come to this church. And we still, we just struggle. And I think the reason that this message is not something that I really wanted to get into, but I really think that I may be speaking to one person, or maybe speaking to a few, but some of you need to be praying that God will give you the discernment that we need here in the church, that we can start seeing with the eyes that God has for us and the ears that God has for us, because there's things in the service that you can see that nobody else can see. You ever seen a person walk into the church and you knew they were bringing the weight of the world in with them? Or are we all just doing our own thing? Sometimes it's the physical thing that we see that is not real, is real but is not in the flesh. And so a few ladies had told me when they were preaching up here that they had seen some things that happened back here. As the mission team that won't come back from Michigan because of what they saw in the basement. And people are afraid because they're fearful of this topic of the demonic. Let me tell you, can I just share with you what I told Billy? I told Billy, Billy told me the story of what he saw out there when the man tried to kill himself and cut his arm and to bleed out. And the voice that came out of him. And I said, here it is, Billy, this is the real deal. I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, is your life right with God? Because if your life is not right with God and you are not truly a believer, if your life is not right, I'm going to tell you something. They'll jump from one person to another person. This is not a game. Praise God, I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and I received it. But they will jump like frogs on lily pads. Because there's no authority, and a lost man has no authority over the spiritual world. A lost man has no authority. He is lost. He is doomed. He is a tool in the world. And this is why Jesus came, to stop that from happening to you and me. And I told Billy, if you have a problem and you begin to have nightmares and dreams that are satanic, that are not right, they're wicked, they're nasty, there's just things that you wouldn't even think of, you start feeling different in certain areas, you need to come talk to me, because we need to do a few things. Don't think because you're a Christian that Satan cannot oppress you, that he cannot attack you. Satan is looking for righteous people, as he found Job. And the book of Job is not there just for us to read history. It's just for us to learn. Satan was looking for righteous people. Are you living a godly life? Are you trying to live a godly life? If you are, Satan is looking for you. The Bible, and even the New Testament, Peter says, he walks around like a lion seeking who he may devour. You read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Who put them in the fire? Lucifer did. You know the story? If you don't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, you don't bow down to the king, you'll be thrown into the fire. He was manipulated by darkness and made his decree. But because of righteousness, who else was in the fire? Jesus. There weren't three walking in the fire. Even the king said, I thought there were three. Why is there four? Because Jesus will protect the righteous. Praise God. Because he knows. We need to wake up and know that they're not coming. Do you understand? Listen, tonight I'm glad there's just a few. Just a few of you tonight. Nobody in this community visits this church. Why? Because it's a light in the cesspool. It's a light in the cesspool of this community. There are good people that live in this community. There really are. But goodness don't get you to heaven. There are some good people that go to other churches than this community. But this community is filled with sin and darkness, separation from God. And Satan wants to keep them from coming to the light. What's the light? The light is shared here. Now we can go out, we bang on doors, we do those things, but we struggle with it. Because we still think it's a work, we're missing it. We still think it's just always about salvation. We think it's just salvation. Sometimes we need to pray before we even start talking about salvation, because their eyes are closed and their ears are shut. When's the last time somebody got saved down here, saved out in the street, whatever, that one of us had talked to, and they came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then they were baptized and they got into the things and began to grow in the works of the Lord? Where are they? Because I'm looking for them and I surely can't find them. Satan has got, as much as God had a protective hedge around Job, sometimes Satan puts a hedge around darkness to keep the light, try to keep the light from piercing. He can't do that, so what's he do? He tries to keep people from coming to the light. He puts the lost in darkness. He keeps them blinded in darkness, busy with work, busy with kids. Listen, kids need to play sports, but not five sports in a row. They don't need to be gone every night. They're supposed to go to school. We put our kids above God. We put our marriage above God. We put our work above God. We put our everything above God. If you put God above everything, everything else will tend to work out right. And it'll be right. But we put everything else above God and wonder why he ain't blessing. We sit there and wonder, where's everybody at? Why is the funds low? Listen, it's not. God would be asking different questions. He examines the heart of the person. He examines your purpose of what you're doing. This whole piece tonight was to get you to understand and know that Satan, the dark side, and demons, they come to church. And they're winning a lot of battles. And we can't get down and depressed on these kind of things. We need to be strong. We need to act like Christians. We need to be ready because we are in a battle and we don't even know it and we're losing. This place seats 300 if we get the balcony right. This place would seat 300. There's times we can't even get 30. But the football field can. The stadium can. Because lost people will go where there's activities. Lost people will go where their kids are lifted up on as a trophy. People will go and do those things. You see, even the people of God aren't even doing what they're supposed to be doing. No wonder why the lost people won't do it. They call us hypocrites. So what am I trying to say tonight? What I'm saying tonight is there's a darkness, there's a battle. We need to know that we're in it. We're in it. We either can sit down and lay down and act like it doesn't exist. But if you want to get serious, I'm telling you, Christianity is tough. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. But Christ will lift us up. Do not go weary and do and work. For in due season you shall reap a harvest if you don't quit. We're not called to quit. And we've lost our joy of our salvation. We need to thank God that we're saved. We need to thank God and we move forward and doing those things that we need to be doing. Not to be afraid of darkness, not to be afraid of Satan, but to know the power of God is the one that can transform all people. So tonight, I'm just going to ask you that maybe we just go ahead and stand if we want to have just a moment of whatever God has for you.